Hello and welcome to Business Line Podcasts and yet another episode of People at Work hosted by Kamal Karan, co-founder of specialist staffing firm Xfino. In People at Work, he explores trending issues at the workplace and the changing dynamics at work. Well, it's appraisal season now. With the elections and IPL on, voters are busy evaluating candidates while fans are judging performances of cricketers. Meanwhile, at companies, both employers and employees are evaluating each other on their say-do ratios, that is to say, promise versus delivery. It seems to be a summer of discontent as neither seems happy. Is there a need for more honest conversations at work? Joining Kamal to discuss this is Krish Shankar, former group head of HR at Infosys and the author of Catalyze, a playbook to unlock people power. Over to them.
Hi, Krish. I welcome you to Hindu Business Line's monthly podcast on People at Work. Every month here, Krish, we pick a theme around workplace and ask professionals like you to share your views. I'm happy that you're here today with us.
Good. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So, Krish, you know, starting this podcast with something that you possibly have done on your life. It's about moderating on appraisals, increments, and career movements related to that. And I wanted to start with some data. Last year, about 46,000 IT professionals, quit their jobs between, the top four, the Indian IT services companies. And they all quit in what you call as, Q1 and Q2, which is April, May, June, and July, August, September quarters. That is almost 60% of the total number of people who quit in the entire year, right? So this thing of people taking increments after appraisals in Q2 and Q3 and then quitting has sort of been fairly acknowledged practice within the IT services companies. Surprisingly, this 60% is true even for senior leaders. How do we decipher this, Krish?
Well, no, I think there are a couple of things here. Yeah. Firstly, I think what we need to look at is this performance thing, I don't think people are quitting just because of a performance rating now. Yeah, because I would say roughly about 20% of the companies still go with a bell curve. Another 20-25% of the company have no ratings. And about 40-50% of the companies have ratings, but there is no bell curve, right? So that's broadly what I understand generally in the industry. Now, if that is so, I don't think people mostly kind of quit just after the performance rating. They may wait for the increments, etc. And I think the one that really makes big difference is either they don't get the right promotion, what they expected, or if the increment are much lower than expected. Yeah, so those could be some triggers. But, you got to look at from whatever data you're suggesting. I think what I feel is I don't think people don't just look at that. They look at the overall EVP of the company. A lot of them look at what are the other things, and I think most important is for every organization to have the right EVP. And it's about compensation as one part of it, but other things like, career growth opportunities, skilling opportunities, like in IT services companies, on-site opportunities, the culture, flexibility. So these are all important now for people. So I think EVP as a whole is something they'll keep in mind. I don't think people take any short-term decisions. We have seen in the IT industry, we've seen a peak. I think the FY22 was a peak. And I think at that time, yes, what you said was all right. Maybe people were leaving, they would all leave after the thing. But I think that's now changed. The numbers that you quote about in Q1 and Q2 last year, I don't think are to do with performance or increments, because I think maybe they are all various other things there. So yeah, I think you've got to take all those things with a pinch of salt. I think people have over time matured. They understand it. Yes, there are some peaks, demand times when they're looking for opportunities, they will quit. But otherwise, I think they look at the overall EVP. And the other thing to your point also is that I don't think IT industry, everybody goes with a compensation or increment in Q1 or Q2. They've actually spread out. I think if you look at over the last 2 years, all companies they start from Q1 even till December, Jan, they do. So, I don't think you can link this exit only to compensation. I think there are various other things. But the key is really, from what I see, is employees look at the overall value proposition. compensation and promotion is one part of it, but I think others are also becoming quite important.
Quite agree, Krish. You know, in terms of how we look at EVP at Xvino, we call it BRIMP framework that we use to denote brand, role, industry, money, and people. And we know that possibly is at a very broad level, nothing but an EVP in various ways. And at various contexts, people choose amongst this what is possibly the most important or a combination of all these, right? But, you know, in these appraisal quarters, which, as you rightly said, can move from Jan to June, depending on whether you're a multinational or an Indian conglomerate. One thing is common during this phase when, you know, we end up calling about 10 to 11,000 job seekers every day from my organizations to ask for an opportunity. And in these quarters, it's especially the appraisal 2-3 quarters, it's quite common to say, look, I'm at X and I'm going to get a 10% or 15% hike. So if you give me 25% above, I'll move. So our data point suggests that, you know, this season is when the appraisal seasons are purely meant to take another lift, right? But I get what you're talking in terms of the overall package that people look at than just one factor. But one thing, you know, Krish, I want to move on to is, in spite of the headcount reduction that many IT service companies have showed last year, you know, we all know that the top six companies have had almost 64,000, employees reduction for, I'm sure, the reasons which are, internal to them. But their replacement cost seems to be higher, or IT companies are spending more to keep attrition under control, because, you know, all of their employee costs have risen last year considerably. And how sustainable do you think is this trend?
Well, I'm no longer in the IT industry, so I wouldn't have all the information. But see, I think you got to really look at it. I think partly, and it's like there are certain contexts that we got to look at if you were to look at the IT industry. I think in FY22, parts of 23, there have been lots of recruitment because of huge demand. Yeah, post-COVID, the demand went up and there was a huge amount of recruitment. I think at that time, because there was so much demand for skilled people, most IT services companies also had a lot of freshers. Yeah. And I think that has been, you know, they've probably had across all the companies, you know, double the number of freshers they would have had every year kind of a thing. And I think once the demand came down, what one sees is that, yes, there's demand for more experienced people with key skills, but freshers were quite a lot of them on the bench, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, when you see over the last, you know, from look at the thing, I think the headcount has come down. So to your thing about the overall cost, maybe people who have kind of left or moved may have been freshers, and people who are needed are people with more experience. So therefore, I think that would have changed. So therefore, you see more people there. And companies also have to continue with their comp increases, et cetera, you know, and that's like, you know, average 5-7% increase every year. So that is there. But I think what they've reduced is at the people with less experience. So therefore, to you, the overall employee cost seems high, but it's just that they've not hired so many freshers that they've done in the past. So that's probably the change, I would guess. But again, these are just my guesses as good as yours. So
now, we were hoping to get some of your insider information that you would have carried over, because these are external hypotheses of ours from where we are, right? So I understand, this logically makes sense that they have hired more experienced niche category people. I was, you know, wanting to see if there's any other additional initiatives they have taken to keep their employees in besides, you know, hiring more skilled people. You know, that is where I was coming from. So thanks for sharing your views. And moving on, you know, one of the largely shared feedback, Krish, is that managers are scared to have honest conversations about compensation, and they shoot the bad message when they have to give it to their reportees as a management dish. And this is all the management is going to give you, so that they should not be portrayed as bad managers. On the other hand, they push the threat of attrition as an excuse to pump up the employee costs. You know, this is what quite commonly we hear. It's not that we're saying it's happening everywhere. Being in a manager role is becoming tougher in the IT industry is what I was trying to, you know, sort of come to. And what do you think of that?
Well, I think I would say it's not just IT industry. Across every area, I think the role of the manager has become more important. I think post-pandemic, it has become even more important because they now have to manage teams which are sometimes even working partly remotely, partly flexible, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if you just look at the changes over time, the kind of what people want or what they expect out of work has also changed over the few years. Yeah. And I think therefore people now are expecting a lot more in terms of what they want from work. You know, they would like some flexibility, they would like skilling, they'd also like good work environment, good colleagues, you know, and they would also like good managers. So these are also becoming important for people. And on top of all of that, there is a talent crunch, you know, skilled people, there's always a talent crunch. Yeah. And therefore you see that the role of the manager is he or she now has to manage a more complex environment. There is a talent crunch. So they've got to retain and motivate and keep the right people. They got to ensure that they manage the expectations of people, which are also changing. And there is this whole pressure to deliver, et cetera. So I think the role of the manager is becoming much more tougher across all kinds of industries. Now, if you step back, I think there is this common notion that managers just kind of, you know, do it. I personally don't think so, because see, managers at the end are responsible for their work. If somebody is not performing, I think they will ensure that the person clearly, you know, that they will ensure that the person is told or, you know, moved out or something like that. So they would do that because in the end it affects their own thing. But what they would not kind of do is everybody is performing good, they would not differentiate so much. They are afraid that if I differentiate one against the other, I might put off all the others. So I think clearly very poor performance or clarity, you know, when they're clear somebody is not good, they'll take action. What they are not, they're probably hesitant to do is do too much of differentiation because they feel that, listen, is this going to upset some people? But yes, I think now if you look at it, the good managers, they've learned this because in their hands, there are a couple of things that they all have. You know, they can promote some people, they give compensation increases to some, they kind of recommend some for various other things like, you know, on-site opportunities. So they have a suite of things. Variable pay is another one they keep. So I think they have to manage and toggle it and do that. So I've seen that, you know, while maybe there are some percentage of managers who may blame the top saying this is what it is. But in most cases, I think they all have a budget. They know this is the budget that the company gives. The budget is given after some thought and they've got to manage within that budget. So they're pretty kind of practical. They understand this because in the end, anybody who kind of keeps blaming their management, very soon they will lose their credibility. Yeah. And I think some the more experienced managers know that. So I would think that managers are much more mature role and their challenges have increased. But I think the more mature managers, you know, manage this and they look at it as a portfolio. They've got to manage it carefully. They will communicate. But the one thing that I think they would hesitate to do is too much differentiation, because that I think they would do where very clearly needed, but otherwise they would be careful to really ensure that they keep the team with them.
Akresh, thank you for that. That makes sense. And moving on, wanted to ask you this in terms of attrition. Traditionally,
large IT companies have always had, you know, a large army of recruiters, you know, 600, 800,000 kind of numbers in some of the companies. It's kind of a well-oiled engine, and because that is a very strategic function for them when they want to scale up at, you know, in hundreds and thousands, I think it comes in handy. But I want to ask you this, that at what percentage would attrition, you think, you know, would hurt all these companies? And at what stage do you think this attrition percentage would stretch the recruiting capacity they have built? I ask this because at various stages, whether it was 8%, 10%, you know, we were talking about attrition. When it went to 23, 25%, you know, we were saying high or low. Now it's 12%. So how do we make sense of when does it really start hurting these companies?
No, see, I think most IT companies have quite an agile way of planning for manpower, recruitment, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's done in a very, every quarter they look at it and they plan because, you know, it's based on demand initially, you know, and the kind of skills that they have, etc. So I would say that, listen, you know, attrition, anything between 10 to 15% is the range which is comfortable. And I think that's would be normal for an industry. What we saw about 3 years ago, where the attrition went to the mid 20s kind of a thing or 20%, that really puts more pressure. But those kind of things are not going to be sustaining forever. They are there for 3-4 quarters, maybe a year. And after that, they will also come down. Yeah. And we've seen that kind of a thing with the IT industry. So I think IT companies are agile. They put more people, they kind of, you know, manage to get more involved in it. And they would do that. So clearly, these are all cyclical things. IT companies do this planning. Yeah, you know, anything in the range below 20%, I think they'll easily manage without too much of a sweat. Beyond that, they'll stretch. But what I've seen is any attrition beyond that is not for too long. It's there for a few quarters and then it'll come down. And I think they'll manage through that. But see, this is an important one. And I think, and they also, and then the world is also changing. You know, the model which was working maybe 5-6 years ago may change a little bit. Maybe there'll be a lot more focus on newer skills, retraining, you know, moving people around. And that's what I think most companies have focused on now.
I hear you, Krish. I hear you. And my last question before I let you go, Krish, is a kind of a beaten topic. Much of
it has been written, but then I have you on this podcast, so I want to ask you this thing of fresher salaries in IT services companies. And for the longest time, we've argued that the CEO to the bottom of the pyramid salaries is getting wider. The entry-level salaries have remained almost this, you know, as similar as what it was 10 years ago. So there are various shades of salaries that have changed that you and I know. Average is more or less there is what the data point is saying. Is it a kind of a supply-demand ratio, Krish? Because when we looked at the data for the last 2 years in terms of the number of engineers who passed with computer science specialization, it has increased. Now, it was 2 lakh engineers were passing out 2 years ago. Last year, 2.3 lakh computer science engineers passed out. So you think this plenty of supply also is keeping the salaries almost there?
I think, see, first you got to understand that if you look at most IT services companies, they spend a lot on training people for specific skills. You know, just taking any fresher is not going to work because, you know, they get trained 6 months of training roughly, then they are getting on, you know, slowly getting into production. They are actually only truly kind of billable after 2-3 years. Yeah. So it takes that much time for people to. So what companies they invest in it? And what I've seen is while there is a lot of kind of supply and therefore it helps them take, but they also have to invest a lot in training. And the need for more skilled training has increased quite a lot, and more specific training has increased quite a lot. So what companies are doing is while they had a lot of freshers, their strategy has been we train them, but if they are very good, they've got particular skills, then we'll accelerate their compensation. Because in the end, compensation is a reflection of the market. Yeah, I mean, and how the market is. And you would see that while at the fresher level, it may not have increased as much. But with experience, with 3 to 4, 5 years of experience, that the compensation has increased over the last few years. Yeah. So therefore, I think it is the company's investment in training, specific skilling, and the nature of the kind of skills that are needed has also changed. So therefore, I would say that it's not that simple. And in any way, compensation is a market phenomena, and people with skills, you see that the compensation goes up. And you see that companies quickly increase their compensation as they build those new skills. Yeah. So therefore, plain fresher, plain vanilla, maybe there is lots of supply and less demand. But once they get a little bit of skill, et cetera, then that really, you know, the compensation premium always goes up. So I think that's the kind of investment that most IT companies make in training people. And I think the key in this is, do you have the right skills? Yeah. Have you got those skills which are at that level and proficiency? Because that will definitely ensure that you get good compensation in line with the market.
Thank you, Krishan. Quickly putting you on the spot on the question that I asked half. You know, any views you have on this, the salary differentiation between the CEO and median should be so much, the difference between the CEO and the bottom of the pyramid employee. You have any quick views on that?
See, I think these are all points where there'll be lots of discussion. Yeah. And I think in the end, what companies have is they need leaders who are going to take the company, grow the company to the next level. Most organizations, it's not IT services. I look at every company. And if you look at the CEO of every company, and most Indian companies are actually looking, and at that level of CEO, the talent is quite global. Yeah. If you look at the CXO and CEOs, they are quite global. There are many people sitting in India doing global roles. There are many people who are global doing. So therefore, if you want the right talent, good quality lead talent at the CXO level, that talent is quite global. And that global talent has a certain compensation that one has to really pay for. And I think, you know, therefore, that's important. And I think companies have to be relevant. They have to grow. They've got to be competition. You know, they have their thing. And for that, they've got to have the right leaders. And they'll make a choice. So I think while that is there, they also ensure that they need the right people across the organization. They need to ensure that they have the right skills. They need to ensure that they are also trained and retained. And therefore, they'll ensure that the right compensation is given in line with the market, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So clearly, this is, I would say, look at it saying this is for the long-term growth of the company. And you're doing all of this in line with the market, you know, and therefore, you know, these are practices that people may see one number going up or one number going down. But I think over time, what I see is that they're all being fair to the talent that is there and fair to what are the market demands.
Jagresh, and with that, thank you for being with us today and participating in the Hindu Business Lines monthly podcast, People at Work. I wish you well and hope to stay connected with you going forward.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best.